everybody, and welcome back to a very special Gamisode episode of
Infinite Quest. Were you
Infinite Quest? I usually go up, but I decided to go down.
Infinite Quest. Eerie. It sounds like it's backwards, like a computer shutting down.
That's not right. Don't play that backwards. It's not anything. What if I was like, "It's me, Satan," but I just didn't know that that's what I said.
Jesus. I mean, statistically possible, you know, monkeys on typewriters or whatever.
It's me. I can't do it. How would you say Satan?
Satan-natas-si. It's funny enough, this is totally off topic, but there's an interesting distinction to be made. Like, because a lot of people, like, practice that as a skill because it's fun, right?
Really?
But there's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Saying words backwards, yeah. Why wouldn't you know? But there's an interesting distinction. Like, I saw one TikTok made by this guy who does that. And he goes, so you'll see a lot of TikToks account of people saying things backwards, you know, like this. And he plays a little thing of somebody saying, like, Rabnitog is, I just made that up, I don't know, but it's whatever backwards. And he cuts back and he goes, not to, you know, denigrate what they're doing, that's still really cool. But what I prefer to do is phonetically say it backwards. So it's not just like if you were to reverse the letters and then say that word, it's like phonetically, what does it sound like?
See, that's what I was, that's way harder, I feel like.
I feel like it is too, yeah. Interesting enough, a phonetic palindrome, say yes is, if you play that audio backwards, it still says say yes. It begins and ends symmetrically with the same mouth sounds.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool.
That's weird.
Say yes.
Speaking of saying yes, would you like to say yes to more?
And
that's what we call Street Magic?
Yes, I would love to play
some
more.
That's not even the right name. I'm sorry, did you say Street Magic? Street Magic? That's
such a long name. All right, so we ended up with...
So where we left off was Henry Cahill III.
That's right.
Watch stopped. That was our event.
Yeah, he looks up, saw... Also pronounce he, him. I forgot to write on the thing. He looks up, sees this, like, light in the sky... Like a new light, like a new bright star.
Yep.
And then looks down and checks his watch and it stopped.
Yeah. So
it was your thing. I just want to make sure I had
that. Yeah. That's right. So now you get to ask a question, state an opinion, or show a consequence.
Oh.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to get the marker because Bailey knocked it on the floor.
Oh, you jerk, little dog.
I'm going to make a bunch of noise. I'm planning to knock over your coffee. Yeah. If you're just joining us, I spilled a glass of water all over the studio earlier.
Well, no, it's because I put it on the floor. Isn't that interesting? Like, there's an ADHD confluence, you know? Like, I didn't have a surface to put it on because all my surfaces are covered in garbage, so I put it on the floor so that when you fidgeted in your chair, you pushed a thing which then hit it.
Yeah. Speaking of fidgeting, so last night I was playing a game for Hero Forge, and I was, like, watching myself, and I fidget more than anybody. Like, I was just sitting there, and I was, like, just wiggling. I was just being, like, a wiggling guy. And I was like, I got like really embarrassed because I was like, I never noticed how much it was until I was like just watching myself with like six other people who like weren't. And
yeah.
I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
But that's like a measurable way that they test for ADHD.
Do they use that in diagnostics?
Yeah. Did I show you that video?
No.
There was like a really cool research project that happened. I think it was out of Yale, I want to say. But basically they filmed a classroom full of kids and you could pick out the kids with ADHD just based purely on how much they moved.
Oh.
Nothing else. No other testing, no other, like, anything.
So it wasn't just to diagnose, it was used to, like, identify?
Yeah, they were just, like...
See if there was a correlation?
Yeah, and then 100% of the time, it worked every time.
Wow.
Because it was just, like, squiggling.
Yeah,
even, geez. Like, the inattentive, like, little girls and stuff, like, it was still, like, squiggling.
Just squiggling. That's interesting, yeah. So we just got back from Connecticut to see my grandparents, and my grandfather, who I talk about all the time, if not on the podcast, in real life, I do at least. My grandparents are cool. Anyways, he's a very stoic guy. Like, he's the last person you would think has ADHD, and I'm not saying that he does, but he's very stoic, very measured, very contemplative. But he is always, you may have noticed this too, he is always, 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 when he's sitting, like, not at a table, he's always shaking one of his feet, just sort of idly. Not like in rhythm, not like back and forth and back and forth, but like he'll just sort of swing it around and sort of like play with the weight of his own foot, and he's done it as long as I've known him, which is kind of interesting. It's like that's a internal world thing that he and I both have in common. We're like, I have to have some sort of stimulus going on in my hands or feet, you know. Anywho, so he looks up and sees the light. Okay, and then I'm adding ask a question, state an opinion, or
hey Bailey, no ma'am, you gotta be a good time podcast dog.
Yeah, dude, be a good podcast dog.
You can't eat stuff. You can't eat garbage.
Also, so the state an opinion, that can just be that could be the opinion of a resident. That could be an opinion of me, or it's just an opinion.
Yeah.
Okay.
A general opinion.
Ask a question. All right. I guess I'll ask a question, which is...
Can I have some of your iced coffee?
Yes.
That's my question.
Thanks. Jeez, I don't know.
Nightmare. Really taste the half calf.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, screw it. My question is, does the mayor notice the thing in the sky? Well, actually, did you say that they both looked up in the sky, or...
Yeah.
They both looked up. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe does the mayor note... I want to take your question from you, but does the mayor notice Henry's reaction to his watch stopping?
Right.
And it doesn't need an answer.
Yeah, I guess I'll ask that as a rhetorical question. Is does the mayor notice Henry notice that his watch stopped?
Mm-hmm. My question is, what is his reaction? Because we don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. That's you. Okay.
Ayo.
Okay. And I would say, looking at the clock, like 3 more rounds?
Yeah, probably.
To see, especially because if we play some more characters, then.
Yeah. I'm into it.
We'll have like vignette-y time.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. Vignette-y time. While having blue yeti time.
Blue yeti vignette-y time. And if later we were to have a dinner made by my matriarch, it would be mom spaghetti time.
Mom spaghetti blue yeti time?
Yeah, mom spaghetti blue yeti.
Oh.
And then perhaps afterwards, if it was a birthday, we would be enjoying cake. It would be a confetti spaghetti yeti time.
Your mom's spaghetti confetti blue yeti. What was the original one?
Blue yeti time. Yeah.
It's getting a bit obtuse. I'd say it's getting a bit heady.
Yeah, it's heady.
Your heady mom's confetti. Spaghetti confetti. Jesus Christ. All right, so compass time.
I think it's you.
We have been doing that a lot lately, and I love it. Just saying rhyming things like that. Oh, I love it so much.
I really do
that in Ted Lasso, and I was like,
oh. It's true. Eric, another word for hats. Go.
Oh, God. Head roofs.
Another word for hat. Go.
Heads. Just a head. I don't know. Like, sort of calling hats head, you know?
You want to take that one back?
No, I'm leaving it in. I have no idea.
Okay, it's not intentional. Would you like to choose a compass?
Yes. Oh, that's right. It's mine now. Yeah. Good Lord, making decisions. Okay.
You got this. I love you.
Thanks. I love you too. Compass, we'll say, is as a man sows, as in as a man sows, so shall he reap.
Okay.
Is the
compass. A question for you.
Yes.
Because I'm genuinely interested.
Yes.
You wrote it on the board, S-E-W-S, as a man sews like a tailor. And I'm not making fun of you. I'm wondering, did you do that on purpose? Is like a double entendre?
No, I did do that on purpose. I didn't know that it's not how you say it.
No, sews is S-O-W-S.
Oh.
It's like sowing seed versus sowing
clothes. Oh, yeah. No, I thought it was S-E-W-S.
No, that's cool. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like embarrass you, I was like, oh, is that like a clever play on words for like bringing stuff together?
Oh, interesting. I mean, I guess, yeah, the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Cool.
But no, it's funny. When I wrote that down, I felt proud of myself because I was like, that's not how you pronounce the word differently than it's spelled. And it turns out it was the wrong.
That's a crime.
You do pronounce
it. It just looked double smart.
Thanks.
That's good.
It was.
Now I feel really bad that I called it. I'm sorry.
No, sweetie. I would always rather be corrected. Could you imagine like the amount of random like mistakes and whatever's malapropisms that we would say all the time if people never corrected us?
Yeah.
Try to make that evident like in my content. Yeah. Like, I don't mind when people correct me in the comments if it's good heart. You know, like they're like, oh, actually it's this, because it's like,
yeah, cool. Thanks.
You know, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Anyways, so as a man, S-O-W-S, sows.
Okay. Sows. Okay. And you get to go first.
Oh, yeah, I do.
You can put a landmark.
Okay.
And keep in mind, you can put a landmark, more than one landmark in a neighborhood, and you can also, if you also want to spread them out.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to, like, make the mayor character, you know, because we're interacting with the mayor, and it's like, who's the mayor?
You could do that, because you can also put more than one.
Yeah, on the same landmark,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to do... What?
No, I just got excited. I want to know what you're going to do.
I'm going to do Trench Fort.
Okay.
Trench Fort.
Okay.
I'm going to make a landmark there.
Okay.
And it is going to be...
Hey, Bubs.
Yeah?
I don't want to interrupt you, but I do want to let you know that if the birthday party was for an Italian race car driver, it would be Mario Andretti's birthday confetti, mom spaghetti, Blue Yeti.
What was the original one? It wasn't Blue Yeti.
I don't know. We could listen
back. I said Blue Yeti. Back. Oh, it's funny. The listener knows.
They're like,
it was this.
Dumbass!
I can't remember. Blue Yeti. I don't know.
Send us an email at ask@infinitequestpodcast.com to let us know what you scream most frequently at your phone while you're playing this or your car radio. I yell at my car radio a lot.
Me too.
I'm just like, God damn it.
Okay. The landmark in Trenchfort is going to be the McManaman's basement.
What a good name. Tell me about the McManaman's basement.
McManaman.
McManaman.
It was the name of my dad's stepdad. Was Patrick Phelan McManaman. But I thought that was the coolest fucking name I've ever heard.
Irish name I've ever heard in my life.
It is extremely
Irish. What was it again?
Patrick Phelan McManaman.
Patrick Phelan?
Phelan.
Phelan.
I don't know how to spell it, but it's Patrick Phelan. It might be F-E-Y-H-A-N or whatever.
That's an incredible name. Sorry. Anyway, so what Patrick. Is the McManaman's basement?
The McManaman's basement. The McManamans are a family. So it's like, you know, the McManamans, plural, is a family of, we'll say, great influence in that community.
Okay.
Like they're movers and shakers. And their basement contains their basement is basically the meeting place of all of the movers and shakers in the Trenchfort community, because like the police don't really give a shit, you know, whatever the city itself, like the government of the city doesn't give a fuck about Trenchfort. They've been for, and so they've gotten used to solving problems on their own.
Yeah.
And so they had to create sort of, they're not necessarily a government, but like. Are you just looking at our perfect dog being
no,
perfect?
No, it's her ears really close to the wheel.
Oh, I know.
I'm afraid.
I don't
want to scooch the pooch.
Yeah, I'll scooch.
Okay.
I'll scooch the chair. Okay. The chair, chairs can't sleep. so like they've had to basically create a body of people who make the stuff happen. You could kind of think of them as like a gang, but not really. Like they just, you know, they're the ones who should determine how the community deals with problems and stuff. And the McManaman's basement is like the unofficial meeting. I mean, it's the official meeting zone, but it just looks like a regular basement, which is why they use it, so that they can basically claim that this whole group doesn't exist. So that's, yeah, the McManaman's basement. McManaman basement. Landmarks have address. It'll be 2201 Sader Street.
Nice.
Thanks. And its true name is The Seat.
Nice. Mm. We have a seat and the table now.
Yeah.
Does the seat and the table get along? I don't feel like they get along.
Know.
I don't think they can.
A tale of two families, both alike and something and something.
I'll give you $100 if you can tell me.
Fuck. I need you that every time I do it, and I never know the answer. I don't. Two houses, both alike in dignity and respect? No.
No.
Dignity and what?
It's just dignity.
It's just dignity?
Two households, both alike in dignity and favor on a wormy layer.
See? Oh, in favor. That's a new sentence right there, right? Damn it. It was there.
Did you like dignity?
I did. You can't see it, but Kate made a digging gesture. However, I would say that I was saying dignity before you did the digging gesture. I just want that to be known.
That's a hilarious bit from the complete works William Shakespeare Abridged.
Dig.
Dignity is like, it's like a pull. It's in the script. Anyway, sorry. Please continue about the
McManaman's. It's in the script of what?
Complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged.
Oh. Huh.
It's a play.
That's... Oh, okay. It's not actually the abridged complete works.
No, it's the one with like three guys and they like improv like all the different Shakespeare shows.
Oh.
Eric, okay. Have you never seen the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged?
No. I've never heard of it. Is it a show?
Yeah.
Oh,
Are you fucking with
I'm
me?
I'm not fucking with you. I've never heard of it. I thought
but
you meant that there was.
It's so good. It was okay. So the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged is a play and it was written by they have a name, I can't remember. But basically, it's three guys, and it's funny. It's a really, really funny show. And they go, and the whole thing is like they're trying to do all the plays of Shakespeare in one night. And so they're just making shit up as they go.
Oh.
It's like this whole thing. But it's a very, very famous show, and it's very, very funny. And you should be in it. You would be amazing.
Me?
I've directed it three times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You would be so good in that show, Bubs.
Thanks. Do you want to do it, but it's the same thing, but it's only two people?
It would be very hard to make that
it
show.
It would be very
two
hard
people.
To make that show.
I would rather find a third actor and actually produce it because you would be great in that show.
Okay. Well, thanks. Yeah, I'd love to. Sure.
That's fine. We're going
to
watch it. There's a really good video of it.
That sounds awesome.
Sorry, anyway, the McManaman's
Oh, I finished
the second round has really changed.
I think it's great.
It's great.
Well, I mean, this is why I love playing games. It's like you're having a conversation, but it's around something that you can return to doing, right? You know? And it always conjures random weird shit that I am either thinking about or know. Okay, so in Trench Fort, the McManaman's basement at 2201 Sader Street, also its true name is The Seat, and it is the place where the movers and shakers of Trench Fort meet to discuss Trench Fort happenings.
Okay. I'm going to immediately build a character.
Please. Yeah.
I'm very inspired.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But.
This is awesome, dude. We're telling the story. I'm sorry. I just had a moment. I was like, don't suppress it. Just be happy. This is cool as shit. Okay, go for it. Because okay. Now that I kind of know the flow of it, it's like, oh, we're fucking.
Yeah. Right. I'm ready. Go for so it. I would like in the McManaman's basement. There is a young man. He is tall. He is handsome. He is classically good looking. He is like strong in that way where you're like, oh, he works outside all day long. Like he is that kind of strong. Mm-hmm. And he's like a little rough around the edges, but he seems like a pretty nice dude, except he has a determination and a focus and a hard setness about his jaw that you would look at him and you would say, he might be handsome, but I'm not going to fuck with that guy.
Do you mean, when you say about his jaw, you don't mean concerning his jaw, you mean
like
there's an air.
Yeah, there's like, you know, yeah.
Around it.
Yeah.
That gives the impression.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's like not fuck withable.
But in every outward way, he sort of appears to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Cool. He's like
under the surface.
How old is he?
I would say probably around like 22. 22. He's younger.
Is he like a married 22-year-old type, or is he like a
drifter
kind of 22-year-old type?
He is. Well, I was just getting to it because I'm going to break the game because I can.
Sure.
Because rather than just focus on this young man, whose name, by the way, is Liam McManaman.
I'm sorry.
McManaman.
I knew it was going to be a hard one. But
McManaman.
McManaman.
But so anyway, so that's Liam McManaman. But he is in the basement with a couple of his brothers, a couple of his brothers' friends, and a couple of just, you know, younger guys from the community down in Trench Fort. Mm-hmm. And they are having a meeting of this group whose true name is the Deep Pockets. That's the cool name of their cool fight club gang thing.
So that's the true, just they don't call it that, or is that its
known
name?
That's what people around town would be like, oh, those guys, they're Deep Pockets. Like, you don't want to.
Okay, you know, cool. Okay. Yeah. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay.
I just went like full Peaky Blinders.
No, it's great. I mean, that's kind of what I was, I mean, you know.
McManaman.
I don't know how to spell it. Just.
That's okay.
Min.
And he's a he, him. And I'm just going to say, and the Liam McManaman and the Deep Pockets sounds like a band.
It
but
does.
That's fine. Maybe they are a band. We don't know yet. And so for this vignette, I would like to focus in on this sort of gathering of guys. And a couple of them are talking over in the corner. And you get the sense that Liam and his buddy are, you know, they're kind of the ones in charge. They're, you know, this is a Liam and his right-hand man sort of situation.
Mm.
Would you be Liam?
I'll be Liam. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Would you want me to talk first?
Yeah, if you would like. I like that this is the part where we get hung up because we're so, like, awkward.
No. I'm not hung up. I just thought, you know, I'm happy to be Liam, but
yeah.
I guess, am I contributing as well, or am I acting out your thing, basically?
I'll introduce it. How about that?
Okay, sure.
Okay, so as we sort of focus on this moment, Liam and his much rough and tumble friend, his friend looks like the classic sort of sidekick looking guy. He's a little shorter, he's a little heavier set, and he'd be like, yeah, that guy's a sidekick, like central casting sidekick energy. Big sort of sideburns, and kind of a, I just realized I'm describing LeFou. Just that was what I was picturing in my head. And so this character, whose name is Frank, slides sort of a hand-drawn map over a piece of paper across the table to where Liam is sitting, kind of arms folded, slumped back in his chair a little bit, and he taps the piece of paper and he says, "That's what my guy says right there."
He goes, Liam says, "These are all the water mains?"
"That's all of them that we know about, according to the plans. But like I said, a lot of times, you know, the plans, I mean, they're changing all the time, especially with what they're doing down in, you know, Wilkes. So, but that's what my guy says. And he tends to be a guy who knows what he's talking about."
"All right. And we have boys here and here, right?"
"No.
No. What happened to them?"
"No, they split. They split like weeks ago. We haven't heard from them for like, what?" And he, "Johnny! Wilkes boys." "Yeah, like 2-3 weeks."
"I didn't tell them to split."
"They got sick."
"Were they drinking that water?"
"I don't know, but they got sick, just like everybody else down in Wilkes. They got sick. We haven't heard from them in a couple of weeks now."
"All right. All right, call the Mayroys and have them send out a team to try to find them to make sure they're not dead yet. And we'll just get a team of 5 down there to replace them as well."
"All right. Do you have anybody in mind?"
Yeah, get that new kid. His dad just moved here from fucking somewhere, who knows. Get the new kid and send him with Johnny and, I don't know, let Johnny pick the rest of them. He's doing well."
Question for you. The new kid, has he, Frank sort of gestures unsuredly. Has he been, you know, sworn in? Does he know? What would, like, are we sure about him? Like, he just moved to town. It's a big step for somebody new.
Yeah, no, he lost. He chose his pinky.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it's,
I didn't know we were doing that anymore.
It's been a while, hasn't it? No, he's fine. So yeah, he'll take Johnny, and they'll go back. And make sure they stop for a bit more of the, you know, the stuff on their way there to make sure they have enough to add.
All right, all right. You sure about this?
Never.
Okay, Liam McManaman's true name is the Puppet Master.
Wow.
Okay, and then an event happens.
I feel like in parts of that I kept being like vague, but not because like I wanted to like put burden on you as like an environment, but I didn't want to choose yet, you know.
That's
okay. It was like I wanted to leave it open, which was kind of cool because I don't like, normally I wouldn't think that way. I would be like, yeah, just say a thing, like whatever. But now it's like,
well, because it's like you have the choice, you know, because it's like if you choose something, then that's immediately canon and that generates a more infinite amount of possibilities. But if you also leave it open, then you don't, you know. So it's sort of like 6 of 1, 1/2 dozen of the other.
Yeah. Cool. So we come to the basement, and so now it's an event, right?
An event, and it's you.
And it's me. Let's just go ahead and say, the cost of spring water from the mountains goes up.
Okay.
Doubles, we'll say.
Does it go up in every part of town, or does it go up in certain parts of town? Where does this happen?
It goes up all citywide. Just the cost of it in general goes up.
It's weird to think of a town in 1912 like paying for water.
I know, right? Well,
was it a thing?
I mean, we pay for water.
I mean, yeah, but like how long have people been paying for water, and how much it was just like, yeah, we got a well.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's fine. That just means that this, like, in this society,
water is
already a commodified resource.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, oh shit, that makes a big difference.
Well, I have some ideas about like Henry Cahill's motivations, like what is his immediate motivation and what is his grander motivation, basically, like, and I don't know, I'm just sort of trying to like plant angles. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's also cool because I don't know what you're going to do either.
I know.
So it's like, I can sort of plan this out, but like, this isn't my story. So like, maybe that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I have a fan theory about Henry Cahill, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
What happened to the pink ones?
Here.
Aha!
Huzzah!
Okay.
And then questions, opinions, and consequences?
Cost of water going up. What's gonna happen to Trunchfort?
Mm-hmm. An opinion. How deep are the deep pockets?
Ooh.
You know? who watches The Watchmen.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Compass Katie.
Compass Katie. Where's my green? No, I lost it again. Oh, it was just in my hands.
The green marker, right?
Yeah. Where did it go?
You are sitting on one of those types of chairs that tends to eat stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I found a pen.
That's not the right thing. One. Where did it go, though, for real? God damn it. It's fine. I'll just put it on a post-it. That's the most ADHD shit ever. Listen to us play a game where we lose the pieces that we were holding 2 minutes ago.
Huh.
That's so weird.
The world may never know.
Where is that? That's a buzzer shit out of it. No.
No. Under the ottoman.
Yeah, maybe it's... Is Bailey on
it? Bailey stole it.
We should probably edit this part out.
I don't know.
What'd you...
Oh, hi, I found it. How the fuck did it get over here? It's on my desk.
Was it in your hand when you went to hit record?
It must have been, right? But to set it down. That's... Okay, I guess that means we haven't used it since we... Okay.
Welcome back to Infinite Quest. It's me, your host, Patches Ohulayan. Okay, so the compass for this round is going to be... Oh my gosh, this is so hard sometimes. Nice is different than good.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that. It is.
I made it up.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
For sure.
Cool. 100. Wow, that's really good.
Yep, thanks. Definitely not part of a song from a Broadway musical.
The eyes are the window to the soul. I just made that up right now.
Oh. That's so good.
Okay, now seems like as good a time of any to talk about our new sponsor.
You mean Geek Therapeutics?
That's the very same one.
You mean the fine folks who offer evidence-based certifications to clinicians, social workers, professionals, parents, teachers, and students on how to use geek therapy to unlock the best version of your clients and yourselves by bridging the gap between geeks and therapists to create practical and innovative therapy sessions that anyone can implement in their practice?
You had that just right, all memorized,
off the
ready
cuff,
to go.
Baby.
That's a pro right there. Yeah, that's exactly who I'm talking about.
But in all seriousness, Eric and I are super, super excited to announce our official partnership with Geek Therapeutics. They are an organization that we are fascinated by and excited by, and we 100% believe in the work that they do. And it really is not just for fancy therapist folks. It is for teachers, for parents, for educators, for TTRPG players, for DMs who just want to learn more about geek stuff and how to incorporate it into the lives of their family and their friends and their kids. And it's really useful.
It's really useful stuff. They specialize in things like Supernatural, Pokemon, Zelda, Final Fantasy, meme culture, Dungeons and Dragons. If it's nerdy, they do it.
And several more that we can't tell you about, but we know about because we're working with them and we're really excited. They're going to be super cool.
Wow. And if you want to learn to be a therapeutic game master, if that's your thing, they can do that for you too.
That's a great way to learn how to build a better adventure, keep people safe, encourage personal growth at your table, all sorts of good stuff. And if you are one of those fancy affirmationed therapists, they have certifications that are accredited by the APA, the NBCC, the ACE, the APT. They offer cultural competency courses to encourage diversity and inclusivity. They offer courses on problematic gaming. They offer just whole geek therapeutic certificaciones.
It's worth scrolling through. There's some pretty amazing classes on there. And if you're looking for therapy yourself, they also offer therapy that you can find on their website. You can even find a geek therapy certified therapist near you.
Find yourself a therapist who understands your love for Sam and Dean.
Oh, because you missed Supernatural.
Supernatural throwback.
Yeah, throwback. Yeah.
You can go to geektherapeutics.com for more information. Please take a look at their website. They're an incredible organization. We're so excited to be working with them. And for books and for courses and for videos and all that good stuff that is not therapy, you can get 10% off your order with code InfiniteQuest.
I'm so excited to do all the stuff we're about to be doing. You're going to be hearing a lot about us and Geek Therapeutics in the coming while, and I'm so stoked about it.
It's going to be amazing. But hey, we should keep talking about that thing that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, this episode, it's going. It's
the best one I've ever heard. Choo-choo on the chugging train.
Let's go get back to it.
Okay, here we go.
Let's go. All right, neighborhood or landmark or resident Katie.
Sorry, I was thinking about the lyrics to Into the Woods in my head, and I wasn't listening at all.
No. I was setting the tone. I know.
And take axe, your care with strangers, even flowers have their dangers, because scary is exciting, but nice is different than good. That's, okay, I'm done now. there's like two people who just got really excited.
I bet.
Yeah. Email us at askitinrequestpodcast.com. I'm going to build a landmark. And I'm going to build a landmark in, and this will be our second to last round.
Okay.
I'm going to build a landmark in Arden Meadows. And it is going to be a bench. It's a fairly innocuous wrought iron bench. Nice, sturdy wooden handles. They replace them every couple of years to, you know, take the strain off the damage that weather causes. And the bench's address is sort of like off the beaten path. It's part of the park, but it's not a part, you know, it's not like right in the center by any stretch.
Well, also, I meant to ask, when you built the park, how big is the park? Is it like,
I would say it's like
Central Park or like
small? I would say it would be like a tenth of Central Park. Like it is, it's not huge.
Like you could reasonably kind of get lost in it.
I would say it's like a city park. So like maybe a couple of blocks.
Okay.
But it's not like you're getting lost. There's just like enough bushes where there's like a little privacy if you want to like make out, you know.
Cool.
There's like a hill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a gazebo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they have stuff on like the 4th of July or whatever. And yeah, so the address of the bench is off the beaten path. And its true name is Introspection. Okay.
Hmm. Okay. Introspection.
I instantly have like five characters that I want to do.
Okay. I will do... I don't know if I want to introduce this as... I mean, I guess I could introduce this as a resident. But I don't know. I guess I'll introduce it as a resident because, well, whatever. I'd like to introduce a resident. It is an envelope taped to the bottom of the bench.
Okay.
Do I have to, like, personify the envelope?
I think so.
Okay. I guess the envelope would just be quiet and would just sit there.
You could put the land, or you could make it a landmark.
Could I? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, it would just be, it just happens to occupy a very similar space. All right, yeah, so let's make it a landmark.
Okay.
It doesn't
matter.
Color code, baby. Envelope, and I'm going to draw a little envelope. Envelope, its address is under the bench, and its true name, Katie... Its true name is Blood in the Water.
Nice. You're so good at coming up with names.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bam.
Okay.
Question, opinion, consequence, right? Because there's no... vignette, because there's no...
Oh, you have to pick an event.
Oh, event! I forgot about events.
Yeah. No, okay. It's okay.
Wait, did we do an event for... Oh, yeah, the water going up there.
Yeah, cause water went up. There is a cave-in at the mines.
Oh, shit. Okay. Interesting. Okay. And so how, in terms of like chronology, so the letter was there before the cave-in, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
I would say like chronology can be what you want it to be.
Okay.
So if you are like, it was there before or gets placed after, like I think that's something that you could flesh out now to like give context.
Okay.
Because it really makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, because like...
It's cool how like those small details...
Yeah, because then like the envelope... could be regarding the cave-in if it happened after, but if it happened beforehand, then it couldn't be.
Yeah. Or it could be a warning. It could be
Oh yeah.
the catalyst for it happening. Like, here's your mark, go hit it. Like Liam sent it out. It could be something completely unrelated, you know?
Yeah. Damn. Okay. So question to me, or question, opinion, consequence to me, I guess, right?
Yeah.
It is the opinion of, it is the opinion of Liam's right-hand man.
Frank.
That the bench is a stupid place to hide a letter.
Okay. What happens if this envelope gets into the wrong hands? That's my question that I'm asking as Frank. What happens if this envelope gets into the wrong hands? Because I guess that's how Frank talks.
That's how Frank talks.
Okay. Compass Eric.
Compass me. Oh, yeah. Mid-game.
Mid-game.
Like, to begin the middle of a chess game. Which I always thought was really interesting, by the way. So, like, I'm sure you probably already know this, but, like, for context, like, in a chess game, there's three phases. There's the opening, which is just when you're moving your pieces into the initial setting. So there's the mid-game, or, like, development, where the middle of the, and then the end game, when it's, like, there are very few pieces left on the board, and it's just kind of shifted around. What I always thought was interesting about that is that there's no set time. It's not like, okay, well, after the fifth move, it's now the mid-game. Like, I'm sure people have opinions on it. But, like, I just thought that was interesting. So you could look at a chessboard and be like, oh, they're in the mid-game. But, like, why? You know, I just thought it was really interesting that those distinctions can so clearly be made, such to be used, like, in professional settings.
Yeah.
But they're also completely subjective.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was interesting. Anywho, compass, mid-game.
Okay. So it's up to you. Do you want to...
Oh, yeah, I'm first.
Neighborhood, landmark, resident. This is... I'll say it's the last round for now. For now.
Yeah, dude, we've been playing this game for like almost hour and a half plus. Yeah. Wow. All right.
It was quick.
It's quick, yeah. And I love that you can just sort of like do it idly. Like we could just be doing this.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, I'm going to go make a sandwich or whatever.
And and what's really interesting too is like how the vignettes can go. Because sometimes you really get it, like, and you're like, we're just going to, like, because the last time I played this, I think there's one where we literally went for like 15 minutes. We had like an entire... You know, and it was great. And we're like, yeah, we're in it. Like, let's just keep going. And it was like really cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love my outfit so much.
That's a really nice outfit, Sweets. It's very cool.
I look
cool,
like
very...
a spaceship mechanic.
You do. That's exactly what you look like with the buttons. It's a fucking sweet outfit, sweetie. I'm going to make a landmark.
Okay.
It's going to be at the mines.
Okay.
And it's going to be the spring.
The spring?
The actual spring, yeah.
Okay. The Sonoya spring?
Yeah.
I keep picturing like a bed spring.
I know, me too. Sonoya spring. The address, I don't know why I just wrote address on the thing.
Okay.
Is deep in the mine.
In a mine. In a mine.
Is that also a song?
Yeah.
Dude, there's songs about a lot of stuff, huh?
That's from Snow White.
Oh. I'm sorry, I don't know.
I don't know why I look so betrayed.
It's from Snow White. Dresden, and it's true. Its true name is Golden Teat.
Special sauce.
The Golden Teat. Special sauce. Teat is T-E-A-T, right? Teat? I've never written it down before. Okay.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So these are at the mines where there was just a cave-in.
Yeah. There you go. Did the cave-in damage the spring?
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't really say anything. I keep thinking of, like, how long do I want the arc to be? That's the thing.
Well, the arc can still go on for forever.
Well, yeah, I know. But yes. It didn't damage the spring, but it made it more difficult to access the spring. So it's not like it destroyed it.
Okay.
But like, you know, the main corridor that leads to the spring is sort of like shittier now. It's smaller now. Like they can't get like machinery through there, but you can still go in and out, you know?
Okay.
I guess I could say more about the spring, but like, I guess as the at the spring during the during the cave-in at the spring, cave-in happens, and you see, let's say, four people, let's say, like a 20-something-year-old man, like a 40-something-year-old woman, a 60-something-year-old man, and a, let's say, 15-year-old boy, all put bottles down, and jump under the tables as the thing collapses. And the tables are just covered in just the same sort of green bottle. Some of which have lids on and are very like arranged, and some of them are just sort of open, like in process. They jump under the tables. And as soon as the cave-in stops, the first thing somebody says is, get a message to Liam.
Okay.
And that's my landmark.
Cool.
Cool. I don't know if you're like allowed to do that, but you know, who cares? Like, you know?
It's one of those things where if you want to send us an email at askingthepodcast.com if you're mad. I'm going to add. I'm so conflicted because part of me is like, I want to like lean into this and be like, ooh, mm-hmm. let's see what's going on with the water. But there's also a lot more going on in this town than just this. Yeah. Like there's a whole,
yeah,
you know,
it's sort of like a meanwhile back at the ranch type. Yeah. Thing. It's like stuff going on. We're stuck going over here. I wonder where they intersect. Do they intersect?
Yeah. I know what I want to do.
What?
I'm going to be weird about it. I'm going to place a character. And her name is Elizabeth. I forget the last.
Acton. No.
Do we name the mayor?
No, we haven't named
the mayor. Okay. Yeah, her name is Elizabeth Acton.
Nice.
Elizabeth Acton is known very much and very well around town because she is the mayor's daughter.
Mm.
And so she's going to be on the bench in Arden Meadows. Her pronouns are she, her. And she has gone to the bench very late at night. She's snuck out of the house. She's kind of like bundled up in a like a cloak that covers up her very vivid blonde hair, and she is quietly and quickly walking with purpose to the bench. And when she gets there, she kind of looks around. She looks to the left. She looks to the right. She pulls back her cloak.
Ooh, a cloak!
And she like with the hood, and she very sort of primly and daintily brushes off her skirts, adjusts her, you know, blouse, and she sits on the bench very expectantly and just waits.
Mm. Cool. So it's nighttime, cloak, bench, sit expectingly.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. You want to do a vignette?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm sitting on the bench waiting for somebody. Who am I waiting for? Eric?
Oh.
You have so many options.
I know.
Because you could be Liam. You could be the mayor. You could be Henry. You could be somebody we haven't even met yet.
Yeah.
You got a lot of options. I'm trying to figure, like... Oh, and she doesn't know the envelope is there. She doesn't notice it. She doesn't pay any attention.
Okay. Fuck.
Do you want me to give you, like, a parameters?
Sure.
See if it jogs anything?
Well, I mean, I have a million ideas. That's the thing. I don't know which one I want to do.
Okay.
But if you give me parameters, that would help me narrow it down, though.
Okay. I just don't want to step on your ideas.
No, please go for it.
Okay. So, from across the park, this huge hulking figure, giant of a man, just, you know, he's the type of guy that you would nickname the mountain and people would be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm.
And he is impeccably dressed, super expensive suit, you know, very, very nice, you know, like a little diamond stud in his cravat, a ring on his finger. He's got a nice sort of pocket watch chain hanging out of his vest. But his shoes are disgusting. They're covered in mud. They're covered in dirt. They're covered in grit. And it's kind of splashed up like onto the bottoms of his pants cuffs and like kind of up towards his shin. And it looks like he's been running.
Mm. Okay. So he comes up. He walks up, not like rushes up, but like he's not wasting time, but he's not like jogging, you know? So he walks up with purpose and sits down and says, excuse me, I had to answer a call.
Where have you been?
Liam had called me. There was a... Well, fuck, this is not how he would talk. sorry.
It's okay, you can retcon it.
I'm cutting it. I'm sorry, that's not information that I can give out so readily.
It's not... I've been waiting here for 20 minutes.
Have you seen your father?
I mean... Yeah, dinner.
How's his mood? What does he look like?
Why do you care what my dad is doing?
I don't care. The person who employs me cares.
Which, by the way, can I get a name? Because I still haven't gotten one. And I'm getting, frankly, very tired of not having answers to the questions that I've been asking you.
Listen, the deal wasn't that you would get answers. The deal was that you would get paid.
Yeah, the deal was that I would get paid and also, you know, not have to consistently put myself in danger all the time. So maybe it's time we be done with our little arrangement.
All right, fine. And he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a piece of paper that says, I, and then a blank, would like to relinquish my service to the Deep Pockets, signed, and then their name. He pulls it out of his pocket, and he puts it in, sort of in front of her. I imagine he has some sort of, like, briefcase-y kind of thing. So he puts that out, and he pulls out a really fucking nice pen. and takes off the cap and puts the cap in his pocket and then holds the pen out to her.
Do you think I'm stupid?
Jury's out.
I'm not signing anything. The minute anyone in town gets a hold of that, the mayor's daughter is signed an agreement with the Deep Pockets? Absolutely not. No, I will not be signing anything. I think we're done here. And she goes to stand up.
And he says, well... If you don't sign this and you don't give us the information that we'd like, then we will consider you to be in breach of contract.
Oh, in contract?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the first one we signed. I haven't signed anything. This is all based on my wanting to do a favor for Liam. I told Liam one favor one time, and he has manipulated and convinced over and over and over again that this is the last time. I'm tired of doing favors for the Deep Pockets and getting nothing back in return aside from what money. Great, I have enough of that. I was doing it for the fun of it, and now I'm bored and I want out.
He looks at her, not happily, but like he knows what happens next. He's seen this before. He knows what happens next, and he's not against it happening. Like sort of like he's cosmically bored, and when what he knows is going to happen happens, it's just sort of interesting for him. He's sort of a true neutral person, and he just sort of enjoys watching things. So he smiles very faintly, stands up, takes the piece of paper, and never breaking eye contact with her, takes the piece of paper, folds it very neatly, straightens it, and puts it in his breast pocket. And he says, "Very well, I'll see you soon." And he turns on his heel and just walks away.
Okay. I'm going to call it there. And I'm going to say Elizabeth's true name is the prodigal daughter.
Wow. You made it two episodes into a thing before you introduced a smart librarian.
Who said she's a librarian?
I know.
Where was that in her character's backstory?
No, you're right.
She was totally a librarian.
I mean, I'm just...
She's worked there. She runs the school.
Actually, no, that's totally biased on my part. Every time you introduce, like... a young, usually female character, like...
You just assume that she's really smart.
Well, I imagine... Yeah, yes, I do. Yeah, I imagine that she's extremely well-read and, like, you know...
She's the only character I ever play, ever. Except for unprepared casters.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
It's gonna be so different.
Yeah.
I'm really scared about it.
I think you're gonna be great.
Thanks.
You're gonna be great.
I'm worried about the voice.
Oh, dude, you know, okay. You did the voice professionally every day for fucking pirate voice dude back pocket.
Yeah, it's fine. Anyway,
anyways,
okay, so an event happens. I have a theory. I have a fan theory about what I deeply, deeply want you to do, but I'm not going to.
Is it my? Oh, it is mine.
Yeah,
is
it's your event.
You have a fan theory of what you deeply, deeply want me to do?
I deeply want you to do something, but I'm not going to. I'm curious to see what you choose.
Okay, but you pitch yours afterward, because if yours is really cool, then I don't want to not do it. But if you want to see what I would say otherwise. An event. I don't know. What's your idea?
Elizabeth is found the next morning in the dressmaker shop where she works, on the floor, hair immaculate, clothes immaculate, untouched, but she has drowned.
What? Okay, yeah, all right, no, let's do that, sure. All right. Wow.
I'm writing it down. So I get to ask a question, state an opinion.
Who killed Elizabeth Acton?
And I'm going to show a consequence. So the consequence of Elizabeth being found dead is a massive upheaval for the town. Her dad, Mayor Acton, is understandably devastated and furious. The deep pockets start getting a lot of scrutiny by sort of the local authorities, but nobody can pin anything on them. Nobody can pin anything because it just looks like she appeared out of nowhere, bone dry and drowned. And so this sort of like lore, sort of like underground gossip train gets going around town about like what happened to Elizabeth Acton, what happened, like what really happened that night, who was it, where did she see? And the more people start looking into it and sort of trying to figure out what's going on, the more this sort of like turmoil starts to brew. And that is where we're going to end it.
Yeah. I have an idea. I don't know how it would happen.
What?
I want a scene, and I don't want to like spoil it because I think this would be really cool.
It's okay.
To just like do.
We could just do it. We could close with a scene.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
Do you want to write it down, or do you want to tell me what it is?
I'll write it down. Yeah, I'll write it on a postcard, and I'll like put it on the back of the whiteboard or something.
Okay.
Just so I remember it, but I have a good idea.
Oh. Do you want to do it right now? That's what I'm asking.
Oh.
We could just close with a scene. We can close however we want to close. The world is your oyster, Eric.
That's true.
Yeah. Do you want like one more scene?
Yeah, quick scene. But I don't need to. Can I just like describe what happens?
Yeah.
All right, so we see Henry Cahill, III, sitting in his tastefully opulent sort of study hall. He's at a desk. There's a globe, you know.
Is it like a good globe?
It's like a really nice, cool globe, yeah.
Does it open up into a bar?
It does not.
Okay.
He's sitting at his desk. There's a gramophone sort of playing, sort of a dusty sort of...
I'll be the gramophone.
Fully worked. It's actually the Bach inventions.
I don't know any Bach inventions.
It's dun, da, 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 da. I think that's it.
I was thinking gramophone feedback.
That was good. The door opens. Big wooden pane door.
I'm just preventing Foley work.
And the large man walks in his feet. Oh no, it's a very deliberate clunk, clunk as his one foot steps in, the second foot steps in. He turns to shut the door and turns around.
Does he get mud on the rug? Because his shoes are muddy.
No. There's no mud on the rug. His shoes are indeed still very muddy.
Okay. But,
They're muddy and now wet.
Okay.
And he walks over to the desk, the opposite side of the desk, and Henry Cahill doesn't look up. He just continues to write in this sort of ledger-looking thing. And the large man pulls out the paper from his pocket, opens it, and it's still unsigned. And he puts it next to him. And Henry Cahill looks up at the contract, doesn't look at the large man, takes the pen that he's currently writing with, and in there are three blank slots on the contract. There's I blank relinquish my whatever, my, you know, working for
affiliation
with the Deep Pockets. And then there's signed, and there's a spot for Elizabeth's name, and then there's a spot for Liam's name, presumably. And he looks up at the document and reaches over and perfectly signs Elizabeth Acton's signature in both of her spots, and then perfectly signs Liam's name. The large man grabs the paper, doesn't fold it this time. He walks over to a large sort of wooden filing cabinet and opens it, a very specific drawer, and sort of shuffles back to a very specific folder.
How many pieces of paper are in the drawer?
No, it's huge. It's virtually full. Like, okay. It's very well organized, but it is full. And he sort of uses his two massive fingers to very delicately open a single spot, and he slides the paper in.
Yeah, he does.
And then he... God damn it. Fine. Okay. I deserve that one. And then he shuts the thing. He takes a seat at a sort of a nice wood carved chair, sits down, crosses his legs, and checks his watch.
It's working again?
I don't know.
Oh!
The large man sits down and checks his watch.
Oh, the large man sits down. I thought Henry sat down.
Oh no, Henry was sitting in the desk the whole time. He just looked up to
Bloobs, I'm so invested. Yeah. What's gonna happen?
I don't know. I'm picturing
Bloobs, what's going on in this town? We accidentally made a mystery.
We did. I'm excited. I got some ideas.
Oh my god.
I'm excited.
It's so exciting.
I'm also picturing the large man as like a mixture of Oddjob and Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll take it.
Like, because whenever I picture like a clearly very like jacked dude, but in a really nice suit, I always picture
Dave Bautista. Yeah. Or a stun double, my friend Gary Peebles.
Yeah.
shout out to Gary Peebles.
Shout out to Gary Peebles. I guess that's where we're going to end it for today.
Yeah.
Huh? This is really fun. I love this.
I know. Isn't this good?
Yeah. And just a reminder, we're playing I'm Sorry, Did You Say Street Magic?
Yes, sir.
Right? Cool. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the game. This is a good game.
Filled with so many ideas and characters and places.
I'm going to be thinking about this.
I know, right? It just keeps, like, yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's so fun. We will put the link to where you can find Street Magic. We'll put them in the show notes. Bubs, is this going to be one extra long episode, or is this going to be a Tuesday and a Thursday?
Probably I was thinking the Tuesday and a Thursday. Okay. It would be 2 hours long.
So, yeah, so we'll have put those in the notes for both of the days. So know that. We'll also make a special page on the website. And if you have an interesting world-building, storytelling, collaborative TTRPG that you would like to see us play, shoot us a little email. Send us a little note. Send us a little pigeon with a little note on its foot. Taped to its little foot.
So cute.
And be like, hey, here's what you should play. And you can send that pigeon to ask@infinitequestpodcast.com.
I thought you were about to say your address for a second. I was like, no, what? Like no.
Remember that one time when you said my whole address on Twitch?
Why would you say that?
Because it now was that's very there, funny. Gonna... It's not. Yeah. Moon took care of it. Moon protected us.
Moon did, yeah.
She handled it.
Screen record. anyways, thank you so much for being here. This is really fun. I'm really excited to keep doing this. Do you want to say the thing at the end?
Yeah. As always, thank you all so much for listening. Thanks so much for being here. Remember to eat a snack. Remember to drink some water. Remember to take your meds. Remember to be kind to yourself. Remember to be kind to others. And remember...
That we love you. Nice. We nailed that.
We did.
That was a good one.
That was really good. Bubs.
Yeah.
I really want to make like 10 more characters. Yeah, and too. Make like doing little.
We need to get a bigger board.
Yeah. Watch out, Bales. Oh, buddy.